Now, it's a particular personal pleasure to welcome Patrick Marcellus here. I think Patrick and I first met not here, not in Belgium, but at the Collectors Club in New York. That's because he's a great traveller and I'm an occasional traveller, and it seemed quite appropriate that two people who collect broadly similar parts of the world, at least on occasions, should wind up in New York together. Now, Patrick is distinguished in so many different ways. He's a formidable writer with a wonderful book on the history, as well as the postal history, of how the Belgians tried to take over the world. And we should be surely and certainly jealous at a man who has the courage to not only produce something as beautifully, but to produce 10,000 copies, many times anything we've ever done, and to sell very nearly all of them to not only postal historians, but to an awful lot of people who are interested in the history of where the occupants of that lovely bit of Europe have got to over the years. Now, like me, he comes from a long family tradition of consumables. I think it would be fair to say that the Marcellus family have done pretty well Mexican food and cereals. Would that be putting it about on the right level?
Perfect.
Anyway, you can see what you can do with it. You can collect wonderful postal history and stamps. And I'm glad he started after me, because maybe that made certain he didn't collect all the same things. But I had an eye on the Congo and the bits around it, and thought that it belonged in West Africa. And only one of the items here is an old friend, and I now understand why I found it so difficult to get to the things I'd been looking for. They were all in General Dufour's collection and now in Patrick's. It's a part of the world that I know is formidably difficult to find material, and also how difficult it is to track down the people involved and what they did and why they were there. So I take my hat off to you for doing it. I'm very pleased, because I think we've become good friends, and it's nice to have one's friends come and speak to the society as well. So, Patrick, if I may, I'm going to hand this over to you. Please, would you give us your paper?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen. I will try to explain you in half an hour how a collection of the Congo Free State is built up. So the first part is the postal history part, and it all started in 1482 when the Portuguese discovered the Congo. And between 1482 and the 19th century, the only people basically who went there were traders, mostly slave traders, some missionaries, and explorers for expeditions. From the end or the middle of the 19th century on, then you get the people who want to colonize the place, which were basically the Portuguese, the Belgians, and the French. After that, we have an intermediate period where we have no stamps, but some stamp-like vignettes made probably by philatelists who were there to do their job to colonize the place. And after that, we start with the stamps themselves. Where is the Congo? For those of you who are not that familiar with the map of Africa, it's just the heart of Africa, basically. The borders of it changed quite a lot. On top, you have the borders of the Congo Kingdom before the Europeans went there. To the right, you have the borders of the Congo Free State, actually the state of which I will be talking to you, because I stopped in 1910, and the Belgian Congo is, as you see it, in the middle. Postal history, well, the oldest cover I've ever found has nothing, is not from the Congo itself. The oldest cover I found, which is from the Belgian Congo, is from 1864. Everything before or actually covers from Angola or from other ports close by, which have a relationship with the Congo, because the Congo itself was for the Portuguese part of Angola, and all the activity got on in Luanda and in other places along the coast in Angola, but there was absolutely nothing to do in the Congo, so no letters were written from the Congo itself. But this is an interesting one. It's a letter written in 1653 by the Portuguese king to the Governor General of Angola, in which he says, since the Queen of Congo does not give us enough slaves, you have to make war to her. So there is a direct link to the Congo, and it's the oldest document known written to Angola in private hands. A second cover is from somebody who went there as a slave trader in 1770. This letter was written from Cabinda, which is just north of the Belgian Congo and Portuguese Congo. And he writes to his, it's a Dutch trader who writes to his directors in Holland to say that he bought 70 slaves. Covers like that are extremely rare, because everybody who had them as a company in their files, they were just wanted to get rid of them when slave trade became forbidden and became very bad, got a very bad image. If you had the same letters from your great-grandfather, you also were not very proud of it, and so you destroyed them. This one could have been from the Belgian Congo. It's a letter from one slave trader to another. So it's an internal cover, domestic cover from Africa from 1783. An extraordinary cover, because internal mail inside Africa, 1783, especially in the Congo area, I don't think you will find it every day, not to say every week. It could have been written from Banana, from the Congo, could have been written from Cabinda, but it was addressed to Malimba in French Congo, and it was a custom to keep some people on shore to collect the slaves while the captain was waiting, or so a few captains were waiting somewhere on the coast, and they sent people on shore to the place where the slaves were collected. So Malimba was one of these places where the slaves were collected, and the letter was sent from the captain on shore to somebody inland. After that, as I told you, slave trade got very unpopular, and you got anti-slavery patrols, especially from the United States and from Britain. People on those patrols had to send letters home. No postal services in the Congo, so what do? You take whatever you can. And here is an example from a cover written in Banana Point, 1885. Written to the United States, but the first post office was 2,300 kilometers further down the road in Cabo Verde. So from Cape Verde, if you would have only the envelope, you would say a cover from Cabo Verde, but it is a cover from the Congo. This is from a British anti-slavery patrol, and I show this one because it's the oldest one known, written on the territory of the Belgian Congo. It's written on the Congo River. The whole mouth was Belgian later on, in January 9, 1864. And so that's from a British anti-slavery patrol. This one is interesting. It's also from a British anti-slavery patrol, but I could buy, and it was with 7 or 8 or even 10 years between them, a letter written from Dr. Burke and a letter written to Dr. Burke while on anti-slavery patrol in the Congo. And then we come to the expeditions. Many people only look at the coast, but they forget that there were also expeditions coming into the Congo from the north, from the Sudan. people have entered the Congo, like and one of them was the British consul in Khartoum, Mr. Patrick. This cover was written to Khartoum in 1857 while Mr. Patrick was in the Congo. It has never been in the Congo because they kept it in Khartoum till he came back. That was much easier. Another one who is very famous and who is extremely important for the Congo is Dr. David Livingstone. This is a cover written to David Livingstone on the Zambezi River in Africa. And Dr. Livingstone, while he was on expedition, he wanted to get mail. How do we know how he got his mail? Thanks to this booklet, which I've bought a couple of years ago, and in which Dr. Livingstone himself has written exactly how he organized to get mail while he was on his first expedition, which is the red itinerary you see on the map. So he left South Africa, he went up to North Botswana, followed the Congo border, and went down to Angola, came back on his steps, crossed Africa up to Mozambique. And while he was on his expedition, he knew he would be away for 3 years, and he said to his father-in-law, if any mail comes within the first year, let's say, please put it all in a bag, send some Matabele runners to the north of Botswana, Bechuanaland at that time, and ask these people to bury my mail under the holy baobab tree, because he was very a good friend of all the local tribes. He knew that all these tribes honored or had a veneration for a baobab tree in the north of Botswana, and he said, please bury my mail there. So they did. They went on foot from Cape Town to northern Botswana, buried the mail. This booklet was one of the items buried there, and Livingstone has had it in his pocket when he discovered the Victoria Falls. Another one is Stanley. Stanley went from Zanzibar to Banana, and this is another one of the very important documents I have in the postal history. This letter has decided history. If this letter had not arrived, Stanley would have died, and we would never have had the Congo, and I would never have been invited here tonight. So, what happened? Stanley had traveled for 3 years through Africa, and when he arrived almost at the mouth of the Congo with 115 people, he was out of food, of drinks, and so he was in a state of imminent starvation, and he asked one of his boys, please run to Boma, which is not so far, which was 2-3 days walking, run to Boma and give this letter to any white man you see, and the letter says to any gentleman who speaks English at Boma. So any gentleman who speaks English he had to give the letter to. Fortunately, the person believed that this was not a joke. They sent food for 115 people, and only in this way did Stanley survive. Next chapter, the missionaries. We have expeditions, we have slave traders, we have also missionaries who are always involved in early exploration of countries. Well, if you look for covers from the first missionaries from the Congo, you have to look for covers which went through Zanzibar, because the first missionaries did not go to the coastal area, but did go to Lake Tanganyika in the middle of the continent, and all the mail went through Zanzibar. So this Zanzibar cover is actually a post item of the Congo. Second period, after all these preparations, then we get to the, let's say, the colonization powers who come into the picture. The Belgian king sent Henry Stanley to the Congo to conquer the country. And here you have a document, a letter actually, written within the Congo by Henry Morton Stanley himself. It's a message which he sends to another station in the Congo while he was there to conquer it for the Belgians. So one of also the very rare domestic covers from that time. The other the organization with which King Leopold tried to get hold of the Congo was called the Association Internationale du Congo, the International Congo Association, and the people who worked for it to get their mail to handle their mail, many different ways were used. The most common one was to send the mail with somebody who returned to Belgium, put a Belgium stamp on it, and send it to wherever it had to go. So this is, looks like a simple cover from Brussels to London. But as you see on the stamp, Association Internationale du Congo, it was a mail from the Congo. Another way was to send somebody to Lisbon with a ship to Lisbon and put it there with a Portuguese stamp. Looks like a cover from Lisbon to London, but it was one from the Congo. Much easier still, you didn't have to waste money on stamps if you didn't want to. You just sent someone to London and he dropped it in a letterbox, and then you had to pay 2p of 2 pence of tax, and that was it. And so with these items, I stop the postal history of the Congo itself, and now we come to the first real postal activity on the territory of the Congo, and this was done by the Portuguese around 1880. The Portuguese opened the post office in the Congo just to prove that it was their territory. No other purpose. Handling the mail was just secondary, and that's why we know of only 3 or 4 covers for the period of 6-7 years and a handful loose stamps. The office was never open, so you could hardly buy stamps. The purpose was, it's our territory. Here I show you the 3 different stamps that were used by the Portuguese and 2 covers. The top one was the one that belonged to your president before he was so kind to sell it to me. And after the Portuguese, or at the same time as the Portuguese, we had the Belgians there with Stanley and the Association Internationale du Congo, who were not allowed to open a post office because King Leopold said, we have to act quietly and only show at the end that we have all the contracts with the local kings. We should keep quiet, no post offices. So all that mail went out without stamps. But a few of these people working for the AEC were probably stamp collectors or loved stamps, and they created their sets of vignettes which looked like stamps and which were used to handle the mail. There were homeward stickers for the mail that had to go to Europe. There were inland du Congo for the mail that had to go to the coastal area of the Congo, and inland du Haut Congo for the upper Congo mail. But and they also made, designed, as you see on top right, their own set of cancellors. And these letters or these vignettes on cover are extremely rare. A second one was Manduo, who made the stamp on the left, or the vignette on the left, and 4 other stamps or cancellors. And so we have some private initiatives which vignettes, stamp-like vignettes, before the first issues. First July 1885, things change immediately. King Leopold becomes the owner of the Congo Free State. The Belgian king got this big territory in Africa because the Belgian government didn't want it. The king said, well, then I take it for myself. And on the 1st of January 1886, they joined the UPU. And they had 6 months to design stamps, but in the intermediate period, there was no real postal activity, so they used, as you can see in the left corner, the flag stamps used by the administration as postal stamps to show where letters came from. But then, as I told you, they needed stamps within 6 months. There was no time, so the only thing they could do was take Belgian stamps and make Congo stamps by changing the name of the country. The die proofs, well, these are 4 die proofs. There is maybe 7 or 8 known. It was all done in a hurry. Here you see the different shades of the first issue and the different perforations. But because it was all done in such a hurry, they also had to use the paper, the stamp on which the Belgian stamps were printed. But unfortunately for them, Belgian stamps were printed on sheets of 150 in 3 panes. Since they had no time, there was no way to engrave stamps for sheets of 150. They were already happy that they could do 50. So they decided to waste paper in a way which is never seen in the 19th century and just print, use the Belgian paper and just print 50 stamps in the middle and cut off the paints to the left and the right. This is the only one sheet left with the two blank paints still on it. All the others have been cut. It's also the 5 franc. Besides this, besides this sheet, which is the only one, there were only 90 printed, actually 100, but 10 were overprinted. Besides this sheet, there is only a few blocks of 4 and 1 block of 10 known. And this one, I got it by accident. It was almost destroyed. As John told General Dufour, who had the best collection of Belgium, sold his whole collection in an auction. Everybody knew he had this, but this was not in the auction. So all the Congo collectors were looking at each other, who has cheated and bought it before the auction. But 1 year later, a young man calls me, and he said, I'm the grandson of General Dufour. Is it you who bought quite some stuff from my grandfather on the auction of the stamps? I said, yes. And then he came to my house, and he showed me this. He said, we first sold the stamps. Now we are selling the house of grandfather. We are emptying it. Everything is being put in the waste bin. And while we were doing it, there was a folder. I said, well, we threw it away almost. I said, I will open it before I throw it away. And I found some stamps. So here we are. Are you interested? So this was almost destroyed. We have also the first issue. There were also parcel stamps, a need for parcel stamps, so they just overprinted the stamps of the 5 franc with 3.5 francs. And the Ferrari also, because he liked things like that, had the postmaster in Banana asked him to make such a rarity of overprinted and non-overprinted together. The cancellations here, there were 3 cancellations, Boma, Banana, and Vivi. Vivi is extremely rare because it was closed on 18 May 1886 and opened on the 1st of January, so only 5 copies with the Vivi cancel are recorded. There is also a linear mark of Vivi. It's the only one we know of is this one. Then the use of this issue. This is one of the 2 documents known in domestic use within the Congo. Then another nice cover is one written to His Majesty King Leopold, King of the Belgians and King of the Congo Free State, with his own stamps on it, because this was written by the governor, but he was a bit greedy and there was no free franking for the governor. He also had to pay for stamps, fortunately. Another nice cover is 4 colors on one 4 colors of the first issue on a non-philatelic document. And this is the top one, probably, a Vivi on document, as I told you, only open for 4 years, for 4 months. The last one I show you is a receipt for a parcel with the 3.5 francs overprint. Oh, no, and I have one more, which I bought actually 2 months ago. An error, a Congo stamp of 50 cents, which was, as I told you, almost the same as the Belgian stamps. So somebody by accident used it for a registered letter, to send a registered letter within Belgium, and they accepted it as a Belgian stamp. So completely against the rules. Next chapter, the fakes and the forgeries. A nice thing is that I have a full sheet of the 5 franc, which is a forgery. We come then to the second issue. First, some designs were made that were rejected. Then we came to the actual stamps, where we see our king with some palm trees around him, with die proofs in 3 kinds, without value domination, with value domination in cents, and with value domination in denomination in francs. These are the trials of the plates. The very cheap paper was used for the plate trials. Specimens in different kinds, void, null, annulation, and then the stamp themselves in all the shades and in blocks of 4. And again, as for the previous one, the overprint with for the parcel post. some nice cancels used. And here, then the letters. This is a domestic cover, double rate, which is quite unusual for this issue. The 10 franc stamp was actually only created for revenue purposes. So if you see it on a real document, I would say not on a philatelic document, it is on a weapon permit. And actually, there's only two weapon permits known with these stamps on it. A few nice covers. The 5 cent of this issue was created as a supplement for the franking of postal stationery to Europe. It was 10 cents within the Congo, 15 cents to Europe, so the 5 cent stamp was created for that purpose. This is a cover with a mixed franking of the first and the second issue, mixed franking of German and Belgian Congo stamps, so it was sent first to the Congo. The person had left again to Germany, so it was resent to Germany. And this is a very rare one, because the 50 cent gray is the rarest of the second issue on cover. This is a registered cover which has still a double rate, so 3 stamps of the 50 cent on one cover. It's not that easy, or it's unique actually. And then here the a receipt for a parcel with the stamp of the second issue overprinted for 3 francs and a half. Some forgeries. And very strange, these stamps are all forgeries, but the cancellation on the left top of the parcel is genuine. So somebody must have had that cancel in his hands, and so some of the parcel post genuine stamps with a genuine, which are declared genuine by all experts, must have been created by somebody who owned this stamp. The third issue of the Congo is the nicest one. We are now in 1894. Our king had discovered rubber in the Congo, so he got from a poor guy a very rich guy, and he said, I want the nicest stamps in the world. He couldn't have them printed in Belgium. He had to come to London to Waterloo and Sons, and then he said, I want to see how these stamps will look like when I buy them, because it's a big investment. And for that purpose, all the stamps were painted, the size of the vignette, the size of the actual stamp, and with India ink and watercolor, all these stamps were made. So all these original paintings are all here, or a few of them are here. And also the die prints of the original die in the original colors are also here in the collection. We are very fortunate that Waterloo and Sons sold out their stocks and that this did not belong actually to the government. Otherwise, this would have been in the museum, I'm afraid. So you see all these stamps. Some of the die prints bear, on some of the die prints, some corrections are asked for, which are then on the die print, you can see, on the next die print, you can see then these corrections done, actually done. The elephant, which is the nicest one, the two warriors. And after you have the die, then you make the plate, and these are some plate proofs of the 3.5 and the 10 francs. And besides that, we also know of some publicity prints, which Waterloo and Sons made in colors sometimes different from the original ones to make some publicity. But so that's then you have the stamp, you start printing them, and if you print them, like in all printing works, you keep some of what you print for the files, the file copies. And from the Congo, I have found many, many, many of these file copies. And the interesting thing is that always the number printed is mentioned on the top right corner. So if you have all the file prints, in the end you can prove how many of each stamp were printed. And the rarity in the catalogue, I can tell you now, is proven by the rarity, by the numbers I can read on top of these file prints. These are the stamps themselves, and some full sheets. And these stamps were printed in two, before 1950, I think. It was impossible to print stamps in two colors, so we had to have to print them twice, first the center and then the frame, or vice versa. Doesn't matter. But of course, if you made a mistake and you turned one of these sheets, then of course you created stamps with inverted centers. And for the Congo, we know two kinds of inverted center. We know the 10 cent blue and the 10 franc green with inverted center. Very interesting is that in all the catalogs, the 10 cent is mentioned with perforation 14 and 15, but this is wrong. There is 12 times 14, or 14 times 14, or 14 times 12 known today. When I looked carefully at the ones I bought, I discovered this. And this also gives us, it's not that this came from different sheets. We know that there were only three sheets printed of the 10 cent, but it was in that short period of time in which Waterloo and Sons had a problem with their perforation machine, and they used a temporary plate. It's also known on other stamps of the Belgian Congo of a very short period of time, and this also gives us, learns us now when exactly the accident happened. It happened at that very moment that the normal perforation machine was not good. And the next point is the different cancellations. So here you have the circular date stamp, which was the most regular one. A few of them are very rare. We have also, besides the, also as normal cancellers, the Tumba Post. Tumba Post was actually the cancel used while they were building the railway from Matadi to Kinshasa, to Leopoldville. And there were many people working on it, also many Belgians. And so they built a camp always at the end of the railway where they got. And every time the camp moved, they couldn't make a new stamp. So they only always used the Tumba Post canceller while building the railway. There is also a Bateau Post, which has been in use for about 18 months, I think. This was a traveling post office on a few of the steamers on the Congo River. Another regular cancel is from the very northeastern part of the Congo, the Lado Enclave, the mail was normally sent through Sudan to Europe. And because the Lado, that part of the Congo, was disputed, our king had taken it, but Britain did not fully agree. So these things happened in those days. So he didn't dare to open a post office in Lado, and most of these stamps came into Khartoum without cancellation. Yeah, if there is no post office, it's hard. So Khartoum had a RETA cancellor to cancel all the stamps that arrived uncancelled at their post office, and that's why you find them sometimes, this RETA. Finally, the T of the tax for postage due, to create postage due stamps, we used also a canceller, and these are really irregular ones. The linear stamps, the linear stamps on marks on stamp can be regular, most of the time irregular use. For the domestic use, I again show you a weapon permit, because this was for the 10 franc, the only way to use it properly. There is a few covers known with the 10 franc stamps, but most of them are philatelic, maybe one or two or not. Voilà, a letter for internal. Then this one is a very strange one. It's a tariff of 80 cents. 30 cents for seven rates for printed matter, because there was a photograph of 106 gram in it and registered. So 80 cents, you don't have that quite often. And it's a combination of the second issue, you see the king there, and the Mols issue. This one is also a combination of the 50 cent, which is the rarest one of the second issue, as I told you, the 50 cent gray on the left, together with the two, with the very rare 5 cent blue. There's maybe two or three covers known with the 5 cent blue. So the combination with the 5 cent blue and the 50% gray, 50 cent gray, is also quite unique. This is a heavy cover with a lot of stamps on it. And then finally, to end the story, in 1908, our king had to hand over the Congo Free State to Belgium, and it became Belgian Congo. The reason for that was that he got too much negative publicity for what he was doing in the Congo, so that he actually couldn't keep it, and that the Belgian says, we will do it better, and they took over. But the very day, so it happened, and it was decided that all the remaining stamps would be overprinted with Congo Belge, so Belgian Congo, and also this happened. But just at that time, two princes of Belgium, two young boys or girls, I don't know, or princesses, said, we want the stamps from our grand uncle Leopold, who just died, from the Congo, without this dirty Congo Belge stamp on it. So they had to reprint at Le Tirage des Princes, the prince of the princes, just to fill up the album of these two young people. But two sheets were enough, so 100 stamps were given to those boys, or maybe to some ministers, or who knows. And the 4,900 others which were printed, well, okay, they were used, they were overprinted Congo Belge and sent to the Congo. Well, of these 100 which were not overprinted, this is, are of course, very hard to find. And with this posthumous print, the print of the princes, the postal history of the Congo Free State ends. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to hand to you the plaquette marking the occasion, which is our practice. It's very small, but everybody gets one. Mm-hmm. And I
thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much, John. Thank you.
The display will stay in the frames just a little longer. We normally say till 6, but it very nearly is 6. Perhaps if anybody hasn't had a good look at it, Patrick will be kind and leave it for another 10 or 15 minutes for people to get a look. There will, of course, be wine and nibble served downstairs till 7 o'clock. There are three further things I would like to say. Firstly, Claude Delbecq has presented the Society with the history of Belgian philately, which is here and which I'm going to give to the librarian, so thank you very much for that. Nextly, the next meeting of the Society is 2 weeks today, on the 11th, when Lord Vesty, Sam Vesty, will be showing Great Britain and British Empire from 1840 to 1936 in 52 frames, and I'm not sure quite how it's going to be done, but I'm looking forward to fascination and interest to that. I don't think that the collection as a whole has been displayed in this sort of form ever before, and I know a hell of a lot of work's gone into putting it together. And he told me this morning he was looking forward to it too. And finally, my friend Jeremy Martin has asked me to say that as last year, there will be a meeting of the Wessex region of the Royal at Swinpex, the Swindon Postal Philatelic Society, on the 13th of June. There will be a reception from 12:30 to 2 p.m. with food and wine and soft drinks. A little payment of £4 please in advance to Jeremy if you can possibly get there, and he'd like to see more than the very good turnout of 32 people there were last year. In case anybody wants to know where it's actually taking place, it's at St. Joseph's Catholic School in St. Octotal Way in Swindon. So with that, I declare this meeting closed. Thank you all very much for coming, and thank you, Patrick, for entertaining us so well.
Thank you, John. Thank you.